So when I read the scripture, I noticed about four times Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And he did that. And then he had to explain two more times what he meant by the bread of life. And the answer, I was wondering, why? Why did he have to explain himself so much? And it's right there in the text. The people were not getting it. They did not understand how the son of Joseph could be making such bold claims. But Jesus was not stopped by their claims. He doesn't just ignore them, brush them off, or even backpedal, like some of us do. Instead, he stands firm in what he believes, repeating that he is the bread that came down from heaven, and whoever eats this will have eternal life. Jesus does not waver in his convictions. And guys, he's making a pretty big statement. He is claiming to be God. And the people of his community saw him as a child. They saw him laugh and breastfeed and do all kinds of crazy things kids do. So I know many of you have raised the children in this church. Imagine if one of them came up to you and said, "Well, I'm God." Would you laugh? Would you question why? Or would you be disappointed, thinking you just went off the deep end? That's how these people responded. They were confused and they questioned Jesus' authority. And even more, they just couldn't wrap their head around it. They did not understand how Jesus could be God and human. But we know now they didn't have the full picture. They didn't know Jesus was going to die on the cross yet or be resurrected. They were confused about the bread of life, and their heads couldn't wrap around it. I'm sure many of you in this congregation today can't wrap your heads around some things. For example, in our world right now, some of us can't imagine why someone wouldn't want to get vaccinated. Others can't imagine why you would want to put a shot into you. That simple question is creating divide in our churches and our world, and we can't wrap our heads around it. Oh, our human ideas, we've been doing this since biblical times. The people in scripture didn't believe Jesus was God, and many of us today don't believe if someone who has a different opinion than us is wrong. Where is the compassion and understanding? Jesus Christ is Lord and died for us. But sometimes as Christians, when we read scripture, we are fallible. And that gives us our peace and has formed us and is so important. However, sometimes that can get in the way of God's greater plan. And while I'm saying this, many of you are thinking, but also, the world can manipulate us into losing our religion and not reading the text correctly. So what do we do? What do we do? I believe we keep an open mind. That does not mean we have to agree with the people in front of us or change our convictions, but it does mean we can just listen to them, just sit and listen. Imagine if those people had just listened to Jesus. They would have seen the most beautiful proclamation of our entire lives. Jesus Christ, the God of everything, right in front of them. So do we sit in our houses waiting for God to come back as the world burns around us? Or do we go into the world and realize God's love is still here? God's love is present in all the people. The grace is there. It's there. We just have to wrap our minds around it. While I was working in the hospital, I met people of all different walks of life. Progressive, conservative, non-religious, religious. And the one thing that all these people had in common was that they wanted the fighting to stop. They wanted a world where they felt safe and that people actually listened to each other. Some wanted the world from back in the day, and some just wanted a new world that we could create where we listen to each other. What would happen if we actually took time to listen to those different than us? Maybe we'd see a pattern that's God-given of us all just wanting to be loved. And maybe we could put aside our views and opinions and listen. Listening to people without an agenda, without constantly trying to convert them or change them. the world could be a different place. The grace of God is present in each and every one of you. And that is what Jesus is saying when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He says it 4 times. And also the lectionary has it, so he speaks the week before and the week now. So they really want us to get it. And that bread of life, that is what communion is. It is listening and grace for all God's people. Last week, we participated in this communion. We were able to physically take the bread and the wine, and the text today embodies that. It embodies that. Communion is one of the most important parts of being a Christian, and I think sometimes we forget that. We forget that beautiful proclamation. I don't know what happened with the Protestant church as we decided that communion is only when we're sinning really bad on purpose. Or that, oh, if we do it enough, it will lose its meaning. I wonder how we got to that. Why is it so hard for us to just participate in that grace? And my pastor in my campus ministry, it was his first week as a young pastor, and he said, why are you doing communion every 2 months? He said, so it doesn't lose its meaning. And he said, do you kiss your wife every day? And they all looked at each other, like, yeah, we do. Like, does that lose its meaning? And they said, well, of course not. We love our wife. We love our wives. And it's like, then why does communion lose its meaning? And I love that analogy because it's so beautiful. Kissing your wife never loses its meaning. That repeating it doesn't. It's the intention behind it. The intention behind communion. And it nourishes our souls. Communion is where Jesus asks us to be a part of his special meal. It brings us together under the love of God to remind us we are ultimately in Jesus Christ's hands. And now I'm going to be a little biblical scholar. I'm going to talk about Ignatius. Okay, he was a second century Christian scholar, and he talked about communion a lot. And he had this beautiful quote. He said, communion is where, in perfect harmony, taking our pitch from God, we sing in unison with one voice to the Father through Jesus Christ. At that time, Ignatius faced so much backlash for his views. And you want to know why? They couldn't believe Jesus was human. So do you see we've made a whole parallel? At the beginning, they didn't think Jesus was God. And these people didn't think Jesus was human. They thought it took away from the power of God to be with us in humanly bodily form, to cry with us, to weep with us, to be with us. That Jesus was human, that Jesus was God, and that is the most beautiful part of being a Christian, is we don't have to choose. That God loved us, but also is all-powerful. So both the Christians and Jews questioned. And they questioned. And we question. But what does it take to listen? To listen to what God is saying in our lives without judgment? To listen that God is divine and human? That God loves all? That God is grace in the world, even when it feels like the world is falling? Are we going to sit in our houses while the world burns around us? Or are we going to talk to people and listen and listen? If both those people had just opened their eyes, they had just opened their eyes to Jesus. Imagine the joy and the love of knowing that Jesus Christ died for them. They could have understood our God more fully. Jesus was human. Jesus defeated death and passed through crowds unnoticed. Passed through crowds unnoticed. Our Jesus was God and still is God. So when we partake in communion, we are remembering that God and creating an atmosphere for that God to speak to us. We just have to listen. God speaks through people. So let us listen and know that we are dearly loved by the God who gave it all, and proclaim that to the world in humbleness and grace. In God's name we pray. Amen.